All right, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 3 tonight. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to continue on here. We're just about through the churches, and I don't know about you, but I've sure enjoyed getting into these studies here in the Word of God. Somebody said, if you want to build a church, preach evangelistic. If you want to establish a church, you need to teach. And so both of those go together. Amen. The evangelist catches the fish and the pastor gets to clean them. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And maybe that's why folks love the evangelist more than the pastor. Amen. Praise God. I was listening to my pastor preaching the other day, my old pastor that's passed away, and he said, it's not the fishing that's so exciting, it's the catching the fish that's exciting. Amen. When it pulls on that pole and you reel it in, that's the exciting part. Praise God. We're going to do some fishing here tonight. Revelation 3, verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Very interesting there. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. Praise God. when we look at this letter that was written to the church in Sardis, again, as I've talked about in the other lessons that we've looked at this, the beginning of the letter, again, describes the one who is dictating the letter. And describes him here, and it says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And so we need to look at that for just a few moments here tonight. And Brother Charlie, I want you to get me Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5, and then Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, Brother Greg. All right? If you would help me here tonight, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Go ahead and read that tonight, Brother Charlie. All right, seven lamps, which are the spirits, seven spirits of God. Now, it does not mean here that there are seven spirits. In another place in the Scripture says there's one Spirit, and there's only one God. God is a Spirit. He is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And somebody help me here tonight. He is the Holy Spirit, and yet it describes him as having, or describes here, the seven spirits of God. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. Read for us tonight, Brother Greg. And I beheld, and lo, God set forth into all the earth. All right, so the seven spirits of God. There's seven horns and seven eyes. Amen. And then in Revelation chapter 4, there are seven lamps burning brightly, and they are the seven spirits of God. So what is that talking about? Well, we know that the seven lamps are the picture of the menorah. A menorah is seven lamps, seven lights. That was in the holy place. And in that holy place, they were to burn continually. And then in Revelation, it says that John said that he heard a voice behind him. And when he turned, and then he began to describe the one that he saw. And he saw this one, he saw rather seven golden candlesticks and one walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And so the candlesticks here, the seven lamps or the menorah that he is seeing here and he is describing are the seven spirits of God. The seven lamps are the seven churches. And so, folks, we are called to be a light to our world. Amen. That's exactly what we are to be, is a light to the world. And this description fits this church of Sardis quite well. And it also says that that there were seven horns and seven eyes and seven horns. All right, in Scripture, in Revelation, when you read about a horn, it is speaking of someone that has authority. A horn is someone that has a position of authority. And again, the seven eyes. The seven eyes cannot see very well unless there's a light from the seven lamps. And they represent the seven spirits of God. Or, if you please, it is another way of looking at the seven churches or at the church. Amen. And where we are tonight as a part of the great church of the living God. And we know that the seven stars, he said, I have the seven spirits of God in my hand, and I have the seven stars in my hand. We know, and we've already looked at this, the seven stars, the seven angels, they represent the ministry. They represent the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry to the local church. It's a whole lot more important, and this does not take away from importance tonight. We need enthusiasm and excitement. We need revival. Amen. We need people praying through to the Holy Ghost. But it's not enough just to have activity going on in the church. What is it going to be like 15 years from now? Praise the Lord. What is it going to be like when our children grow up, and what kind of part are they going to have in the church of the living God? Not the will of God that all of our children backslide and we end up with just a bunch of old people in the church. Now, you might laugh about that, but I've pastored in a place like that, and it was all older people, and they were set in their ways, and I almost got myself in trouble. You know me, I'm kind of on the spur of the moment. I didn't like the way the bathroom looked, so I remodeled the bathroom. And I didn't like when you first come in the church, all of these pictures on the wall of our missionary. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to put them in the prayer room so when people were praying, they could see the missionaries. And I thought probably I was going to get voted out as pastor for doing that. Amen. Because that was a sacred place, and it was not to be disturbed by any newcomer. Amen. Folks, we cannot get to a place where we're so set in our ways that we're not the light of the world anymore. And we cannot get to the place where we are like Laodicea. Leo is like the laity. And Laodicea actually represents authority in the pew and not in the ministry. And we see that things have turned that way in Laodicea. And so the seven stars are the seven ministers of the seven churches, also referred to as the seven angels of the churches. And lest you think that there is glory, a glory of men in the ministry, if you think that's what the ministry is about, then you're mistaken tonight, because that's not what it's all about. Praise God. A minister is someone who waits on tables. A minister is like a waiter at a restaurant. Amen. And to those that serve well, thank God for that. And those that don't serve as well, praise the Lord. Amen. And God has set in the church his ministers, and I thank God for all of the ministers. Praise God. We can never get to the place where we downplay one and put another one up. To one is given one talent, to one is given two, and to one is given five. Praise God. And wherever we are, I've seen people in very, very small churches, and our church is not what you would consider a large church, but I've seen people in churches that are much, much smaller than our church, and I've ministered in those places. And you talk about people that love God, they love God more than anybody else. They were so deep in God, it was just incredible. And you can't take away from that. And you can't say that it's better because it's bigger or whatever. And we're going to look at that aspect of it here tonight and see what was going on here in the church in Sardis. The ministry is the mouthpiece of God, and the ministry is not God. Amen. I said the ministry is not God, and the ministry does not dispense the grace of God. And that does not take away from the authority of the ministry. Amen. It really doesn't. But it establishes the ministry. And I thank God for the ministry. I thank God for my pastors, Brother Stanford and Brother Johnson now. And I appreciate them very much. And I look up to them. In the church where he pastors, him and Sister Johnson, were called Papa J and Mama J, and they really loved that title, but I could never come to the place where I could call him Papa J. To me, it was too casual. To me, it was not respectful enough for the man of God in my life, and I always called him Brother Johnson or Bishop. Amen. And that's just the way it is with me. Now, he loved that other title, and it made them feel good, and that's just wonderful. But for me, I thank God, excuse me, I thank God for the ministry. I had somebody tell me one time that was attending or what was actually a member in a church in another state, very small congregation. And they had lots of troubles, and the ministry had come through many different times, and each minister had a problem. And after a while, it established in the minds and the hearts of the people that the ministry is not spiritual. Amen. And I feel for folks that have to go through troubles because of the ministry. Amen. And he told me, he said, I've come to the understanding that the pastor is just an administrator. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's not even close. Wrong answer, go to the back of the class. Amen. That's not what the pastor is. He is not an administrator, someone who just puts things together and comes up with ideas. But he is supposed to be the man of God for that church. He is supposed to be able to hear from God, and when he preaches, there needs to be results. Amen. There needs to be results. And he is ordained, according to Revelation here, to be the mouthpiece to the church. And so he opens up the letter here, and he says, him that hath the seven stars and the seven spirits of God. So he has the church in his hand. He has the ministry in his hand. Amen. Don't ever fret. It's in his hand. It's in his hand. So let's look at this a little bit. This church here in Sardis was the chief city of Asia the Less. They had Asia the Major and Asia the Less, I understand. And the first city in that part of the world that was converted by the preaching of John. It was actually in what we would consider Western Turkey right now. And that's where John, the Apostle John, obviously went to that city. It's not recorded in Scripture. There's only three places in Scripture where the name Sardis appears, and it's always in the book of Revelation. There's nothing about it in the book of Acts, nothing about it at all, but history tells us that by the preaching of John, the revelator here, and you remember there was another church, I don't remember which one, but John had ordained the bishop of that church. And so John was very close to the churches that he was writing to here. It wasn't just something that he made up off the top of his head. Some say that that this church was the first church that revolted against Christianity. And when I read that, there was something about it that just shook me here because they've done archaeological digs in this city, and it was a very, very prosperous city. It was a prosperous time, and they actually discovered a synagogue or a church, and I believe it was the church in Sardis. There was mosaic tiles in the floor, and it was very large. It was a very large synagogue, and it was located in the center of the city. And according to history again, most of the synagogues were not in the middle of the city or the center of the city, but most of the synagogues were on the outskirts of town. Probably because there were so many in those cities at that time that worshipped other gods, and here comes the Jewish faith, and we believe in one God, and we're not really accepted that much. But it was not that way in Sardis. It was not that way. They were in the center of town, and I thought about this. There was also a building that they discovered that was 300 feet long, and I forget how wide. It had very high, tall columns to it, and it was a gymnasium and a bathhouse, praise God. And way back at that point in time, they were given over to the worldly things, and there was entertainment, there was excitement, no doubt. There was a moving city here, and probably, you know, I got to thinking about it. I thought, I wonder if that was a gymnasium that was connected to the church. Amen. And we see that a lot, gymnasium, and I'm not against gymnasiums at all. But that's what they found. And also history records that it was one of the first churches that was laid in ruins, amen, and in which it still lies. In Sardis, there, as far as I know, there is no church and no ministry. And so what happened? What was it that caused this church to go in this direction? And the Lord spoke to this church, and let's look again at the Scripture. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name. Everybody said a name. That was probably meaning there that this was the church that was in the center of town. And if it was that large, it was also influential in that city. And no doubt there were politicians that came to that church. No doubt they had exciting things that were going on within the body of that church. And the Lord said, I know your works. I know your works. We saw that in another church, didn't we? He said, I know your works, and I've seen your works. And it was a praise to the other church. And yet this church, he said, I know your works, and praise God, he knows what's going on in every church. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Amen. And, you know, kind of built him up and then dropped him off the face of the cliff there and told him, you know, I see everything you got going. You got a big building. You've got an exciting ministry. You've got all of these things going for you. Tremendous outreach and reaching to people, maybe feeding the poor, and all of those things. But there was something about it. The Lord said, you are dead. And we're going to look at this here. How could something be alive and be dead at the same time? Well, I began to look at it, and I thought about the stars. And I know that's out of character for me, but I was thinking about the stars, and I got to looking at some of the figures here. And Sirius, which is the brightest star, is the brightest star to us, is 8.611 light years from Earth. And so that means that if there is that light that leaves that star, it takes 8.611 years to get to the Earth. And so what we're looking at is not something that is actually real, but it is something that happened 8.611 years ago. We're just now seeing the light from that. The closest star to the Earth is Proxima Centauri, and it is about 4.22 light years from the Earth, and it is the closest star other than our sun. And so when you think about it, whatever took place 8.611 years ago, it's still shining today. But if that star were to go out, if it were to die, we could still look at that star 8.611 years later and see the activity that is going on. Does that make sense? Amen. There are places, and I believe that this will apply to us and every church as far as that goes, that there are times when the church is established, times when the church grows, and it begins to mature, and it begins to establish some things in its life. But there is something about it. We've got to hold on to the things that established us in the very beginning, because a program can keep on going when it's as dead as it can be. Amen. There can still be a light, but it doesn't mean that anything is going on spiritually. Amen. And it is so very, very true. He said, I know your works. You have a name. You've made a name for yourself in your community. You've probably made a name for yourself in the city and had influence in the city. And your light's shining, but it is shining probably because of the influence of John the Revelator that was there in the very beginning. And when he preached, he established some very positive, some very powerful things in the lives of those people. And it's very important tonight for us to see things in the right perspective. Praise God. Sardis had a synagogue, as I said, in the center of town. It was very large, and indications were that it had much influence personally, politically, and probably financially in that city. And today we think in some places that the pinnacle of success is to baptize a politician in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'm telling you what, or for some politician to receive the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, when our little four-year-olds receive the Holy Ghost, that's just as precious in the eyes of God as a politician is. Amen. And a politician, well, I'm not going to get into that tonight. Oh, God, help us in America. Amen. But you know what? Maybe I ought to turn this off. You know what? If there's gridlock in Washington, that's good for us. Praise God. Let's pray for gridlock. Amen. Well, praise God. Whatever they put their hand to, it doesn't seem to be very good. And anyway, let's get back to the Bible study here tonight. And so when we look at it here, they had a name. They had much activity, as I've already said. But there was a great need for repentance. And it was said of Sardis that they were the first church to denounce Christianity and the first one to be destroyed. And so the Lord starts out here, and he says, you are dead. You're alive. There's a light that's shining from the past, but you are dead. And he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Amen. And so there was a few things from the past that was still in the church of Sardis. There was still some people, you know, that lived for God in the very beginning that were still there. Some of the old saints that were still sitting in the pews, and they knew how to pray. Amen. And they believed in holiness. They believed in righteousness. They stood for God. When they saw their church beginning to go in a direction that was not good, and they didn't feel good about it, they didn't rise up, but they just got down on their knees and prayed even that much more about it. Praise God. And some of the old saints, he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There was a few things in Sardis, and it doesn't describe what they are, but there was a few things here in this church that remained from the very beginning. Amen. They had established some of the teachings of John, and it was still there. There was still some good in it, but he said it's about ready to die as well. When those old ones pass on, and now it's just a brand new generation, then that which remained is going to be gone, and it's going to be completely, totally dead. And it will be dead, but it will be alive at the same time. It will continue with its programs. It will continue with its exciting speakers and all of that. But it's not the numbers or the size that the Lord looks at. It is the righteousness of the church that the Lord looks at. And I'm going to show you that as we get through here tonight. But he said, watchful, be watchful. That means to keep awake or to watch or to be vigilant. It is important that we understand the things that got us to where we are. Praise God. You know what got us to where we are today? A lot of work. Amen. You know what got us to where we are today? Bible studies got us to where we are today. You know what got us where we are today? Somebody took the time to pray. And we didn't have very great music at that time. We didn't have a very large congregation at that time. Actually, just one man. And it was not nearly as exciting as it is tonight. Amen. If you can imagine that, praise God. And yet there was prayer that was going on, and there was pushing that went on. Not pushing one another around, but pushing against the tide that was saying, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm afraid that spirit is trying to push against, it is pushing against our church that says we're as far as we're going to go and we can't go any further. But I refuse that, amen. I rebuke that tonight because what brought us here will take us on further down the road. Amen, amen. That's right. And there'll be a day when Pastor will step off the scene. But I'll tell you what, you don't need a maintenance man to come in here and maintain the program and maintain the status quo and all of that. What we need is somebody with vision, amen, somebody that can say, this is what we need to do and feel after God and get the right direction for the church. He said, be watchful, be vigilant. And they were about to go to complete, total spiritual sleep and lose the only thing that they had left. Praise God. And he said, remember how thou hast received and heard. Remember how. He didn't say remember what you heard. He said, remember how you heard it. There was no dispute about the oneness of God. There was no dispute about holiness at that point in time, but it's how we receive the Word of God. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. And how we hear in some ways is dependent upon how it is presented to us, how we hear it. If we hear holiness from an angry voice, then we think that holiness is, we're supposed to be angry if we're holy. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. If we hear, well, you could apply that to just about anything. He said, but remember how you heard it. And how did they hear it? According to history, it was John the Revelator that came. Who was John? John was the beloved. He was the one that leaned against the breast of Jesus Christ. He was the one that said in his epistles, he said, brethren, love one another, for love is of God. He was the apostle did not die a martyr's death because he was very, very close to the Lord. And so when I think about him coming to a place and preaching and ministering, he didn't come with the spirit of John the Baptist, all right? And John had his own way of doing things, and he was called of God. But there is a time and a place for everything. Amen. There's a time for hard preaching. There's a time for it. But you can say no with a smile on your face. Did you know that? Praise God. You don't have to have a whip in one hand and a knife in the other hand and say, no, this is not what we're going to do. But he said, remember how you heard and what kind of ministry there was that came to you. And it was really the very best kind of ministry that this church could have ever had. And it resonated. Amen. It resonated with the city. It resonated with the people. And they began to grow, and they built a brand new church in the center of town, and they became very influential because of the spirit that John the Revelator brought to them when he established this church. And really, I can't think of a better pastor than John. Amen. I don't think you could have found a better pastor than this man. He gave them the thrill of truth, amen. He gave them the excitement of living for God, amen. He gave them the right perspective about what it means to live for God. He gave them everything that they needed, and it worked, amen. And it'll still work today, praise God. And I cannot even say that I would even be close to measuring up to the pastor that Sardis had, but what you see is what you get. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he said, watch and remember how you received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Amen. Hold fast to love. Hold fast to compassion. Hold fast to the right spirit and attitude that should be behind our programs. Amen. I'm not involved because I want to get a trophy. I'm not involved because I want to get a pat on the back. I don't come because I like so-and-so or this, that, and the other, but I'm here because I'm thrilled about truth. Amen. Praise God. I'm here because I'm thrilled about living for God. Are you thrilled about living for God? Amen. He said, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And obviously it happened because they did not watch. And if we don't take care of business with the principles, the basic principles of living for God, our foundation, our Christian foundation, eventually, we're not going to have a foundation. Amen. And what will happen is we will lose the greatest foundation that we have, and that is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. we are seeing this, and we have seen this for a number of years, actually many years, where apostolics are allowing Trinitarian pastors and preachers to come and preach in their church. And I'm telling you, it's been happening for a long time, and we are getting to the place in many places where Sardis, the spirit of Sardis, is making great inroads. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to hang on to the old paths. Amen. And he said, I'll come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. What words? Amen. It would be enough to stir anybody. The founder of this church writing a letter to them and saying, God told me to write this to you and to show you where you are and what you need to do. Amen. But did it do any good for this letter to be read to them by the founding pastor? Obviously, it didn't do any good, at least not for the long haul. And they fell away from truth. They fell away from the things that they had established from the very beginning. And I can almost hear the words of some that felt like they had to relax their stand on holiness and separation, and how that this one God message offends too many people, so we've got to back up on it a little bit, and we've got to get away from who we really are. You know, it doesn't bother me that I'm criticized sometimes for what we preach. Amen. I love what we preach. Amen. Because it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. I can hear some of them say, well, look at how we're growing. You can look at so-and-so church over here. Let's use the church Smyrna, for example. How many of you remember when we taught on Smyrna? Amen. Probably none of us do. We'll get that tape and listen to it again. But Smyrna had a little strength, and they were poor. It was a poor church, and it was a small church. He said, you have little strength. They didn't have a lot of influence, and there was not a lot of things that were necessarily going on as far as exciting programs and all of that. And the bigger ones have a tendency to say, well, if God is with them, why aren't they as big as we are? And why don't they do things like we do? Even in a church of this size, it would be easy to fall into that spirit and to look down upon others. But I'm telling you here tonight, we've got to see it the way the Lord sees it. Praise God. I can hear them say that gain and prosperity is the mark of acceptance and God's approval upon us. I can hear them say times are changing and we need to keep up with the times. And I do believe that in a sense of the word, but I don't believe in that in some ways. Because Jeremiah 6 and 16, he said, thus saith the Lord. Now here's another word from the Lord tonight. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they would not walk therein. Amen. And that's speaking of Israel here. But the Lord said, hey, it's time to get back to the basic principles. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to get back to the things that brought us to where we are. It's time to get back to good old-fashioned repentance. Amen. We can't get so dignified that we never go to the altar and pray. Our personal altar at home, whatever it is, humility. We need to have the spirit of Apollos, amen, that was a tremendous preacher, but when truth was shown to him, he accepted it openly, and he was ready to do the will of God. But if we get stuffy, amen, if we get prosperous, and all of a sudden our spirit and our attitude changes. Somebody told me one time they were working in a place, and somebody got a promotion, And he said, it's amazing. All that person needed to have was a promotion, and you could tell that they walked different after they got their promotion. Amen. I'm Heap Big Chief now. Amen. And whatever I say, you're supposed to do. But I'll tell you what, we can't get so high and mighty that we have salvation and that we have the grace of God and the blessings of God, amen, to where we feel like we're better than others, amen. Anybody blessed here tonight? Amen. Praise God. Brother Deontay asks us that all the time, and I have to keep reminding myself I'm blessed, praise God. I'm very, very blessed, and God's been so good to me. I have so much more than I did when I first started with him. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight. Praise God. But there were some in Sardis that had the goods. And that's a positive part of this. And they stood out in the congregation like the old apostolics. Amen. And just bear with me here tonight and smile a little bit. But they probably had the old hairdos, amen. And they when they came to church, they had a smile on their face. And they worshiped God, probably when they were dancing in the Spirit or speaking in tongues while they were praying. And there was others that was trying to carry on a conversation, and that old lady that's coming to church or that old man that's been here from the very beginning, we can't hardly talk to each other because they're making too much noise. Amen. And when you talk to them, they talk about how good God is, and they talk about how excited they are about baptism in Jesus' name. Yeah. But, you know, us older ones have been around a long time. Well, yeah, we understand that. You go ahead and be excited, little kindergarten Christian. Amen. But we've moved on from that. And now God has blessed us in our business, and God has blessed us in our life. And, you know, we believe in that, but we're just not as excited about some things as you are. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm still excited about one God. I'm still excited about baptism in Jesus' name. Still excited about speaking in tongues and feeling the Holy Ghost when I come to church, when I drive down the road in the car. Amen. Wherever I'm at, it thrills me to feel God. Amen. Anybody else with me on that tonight? Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter if you live for God 100 years, you still need to have that joy. Praise God. Brother Mike's back there smiling. I told him last night, don't ever lose your smile. Amen. Praise God. If you lose your smile, you're going to lose your joy. Praise God. And they had the goods. They stood out in the congregation. They looked like the old apostolics. You know, the new younger ones laughed at them behind their back when they had their way of worship. Amen. And I'm not going to get into all that here tonight, but I remember the church that I prayed through in. We had some folks that worshiped God in kind of unique ways. And, you know, she was in the Holy Ghost. She was in the Spirit. And I'm not going to go into all that. They were accused of being old-fashioned, antiquated. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if they didn't hang on to those old ones that were praying, the church was about ready to die completely. Praise God. They were the ones that regularly were attracted to the secret place. They didn't have any confidence in lights and smoke and altar props. Amen. They knew their God and he knew them. Praise the Lord. Do you know him tonight? It's very, very important that we stick with this. Amen. You can live for God anywhere. Anywhere you can live for God if you've got a prayer life. Because prayer, hear me tonight, prayer is not an emoji on your phone. praying for you, five emojis. That means we really hope that, you know, you get better. Praise God. But that's not what it is. And we've kind of getting away from some things. I'm not against that. Don't misunderstand me here tonight. Say, Brother Worse is preaching against emojis. I'm not. Amen. But don't let your prayer be an emoji. Amen. Praise God. He said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. And I pick up on that the Lord is saying here, you know, even in this church that's dead, there's a few folks. There's a few here. And who knows how large the church was. Elder Westberg said the church in Ephesus was 30,000 people. That's a large church. Can you imagine if Sardis had that many people and the Lord said, I've got a few here. There's a few here that are rapture ready, but the rest of the folks are not rapture ready. They're completely dead. Amen. I'll tell you what, we got to look through the eyes of the Lord. He said, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Amen. Revelation 19 and verse 7, if you'll turn with me, I want you to look at this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife is the church, hath made herself ready, and to her, or to the church, the people that are in the church here, not the dead ones, but to the ones that are in the church, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Praise God. And so he said, they have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. When they saw things going on in the church, young people, hear me tonight. Don't look at those that have left the church and say, that's the normal thing to do. That's not the normal thing to do. God has a beautiful plan for all of these young people. He really does. I can't overemphasize that tonight. And the most important thing that you can establish in your life is to always tell the truth. Always do what is right. And if you don't know what is right, seek for an answer. I know we've all failed in this from time to time, but I'm telling you what, we got to go back and hold on to the things that are relegated to righteousness. Righteousness means doing what is right. Praise God. You know, the Lord's not so excited about a large congregation. He's excited about one individual that will do the right thing, that will live for God, that will walk with God, that will pray, that will be separated from this world, amen, and live for God in righteousness. It's more important to the Lord than physical results or church numbers, and I pray that God helps us fill this place up. I don't want to give the wrong impression here tonight, but I'm telling you what, if all we do is get bodies in the church and nobody has the Holy Ghost, or if they do, we've all got a spirit of anger against each other. It's not going to matter how big we are or if we have a tremendous program that we develop, amen, and it lasts for years and years and years. If all we're doing is leaning on our program, then obviously we're not leaning on God. Amen. And we must lean on God for righteousness. Amen. We got to hold fast what we have received and how we received it and sit back and watch for his coming. Amen. And watch for anything that will get us off track. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. If there's anything that I fear more than anything in life is for that to happen right there. How can people talk about eternal security when he said, I will blot your name out of the book of life. It's so obvious and so simple to understand. We've got to hold fast unto what we have. Amen. He said, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And can I say it this way tonight? The Spirit is speaking to our church as well. He knows everything, and he's going to bring out everything that we've done and confess it. The Bible says, what is done in secret shall be shouted from the housetops. We can't hide anything from God. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. But there's a great reward. Let's stand together. A great reward for those who just simply live for God. Stand for God. Everybody said stand for God. Stand for God. Stand for prayer. Stand for prayer. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. Just stand. When you've done all, just stand. Just stand. Let me have the spirit of Smyrna. Here, Sardis was a going, moving operation, but they were dead. And over miles and miles away was a little bitty church, and they were alive, but they were about to be killed and persecuted. Praise God. And the Lord said, I like that church over there. You don't have anything that I need to rebuke you for because you love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know what? I'm not looking for somebody to pat me on the back or for somebody to say, we want you to come and give us a seminar on church growth or starting a church or whatever it is and get the praises of men for accomplishments and all of those kinds of things. Some people are just into numbers and they've got them in their mind and they can tell you how many this and how many that and what we've done and how many miles of fiber optic cable we've got in our church and how much the sound system cost and all of that. But the big question is, how does the Lord feel about the church? How does the Lord feel about me as an individual? And it comes down to that. It really does. I want to live for God with all of my mind, heart, and strength. Now, I could come tonight and I could have something that would thrill our hearts, but I'll tell you, this thrills my heart because the Lord loves us enough to tell us the truth so that we can be saved and we can hear him say, well done. That's what I want. Anybody else with me tonight? Want to hear him say, well done. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for each and every precious soul that's here tonight. God, I pray that the word will get deep, deep, deep in our hearts and that you will help us and that you will touch us in our spirit, that you will help us to remember how we received the word of truth and hold fast to the things that you gave us in the beginning. For Lord, we want to be saved. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. I thank you tonight for it. Somebody said, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your touch. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.